Here we are, part two, the magnificence of religion, and I hope I can get it all done tonight, because we have so much to do about what's right, as Paul says, about what pastors are supposed to be, and what church is supposed to be, and blah, 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 blah. We'll get into that a sermon or two, maybe, but I do want to talk about missionaries and evangelists. I was reminded of that. Well, you know what, I should talk about those guys. There's not one out there that I know of. Evangelist-wise, whoop, that was a good sniffer-differ. Let me try it again, and now I get the video going, though. But I've learned how to stop them. So hang on one more time here. I just hope I remember to cut the beginning out. We'll start over. Good evening, website people. The magnificence of religion. Let's see if we can't get through a lot of these. Now, I know one of the things that I do is I try to get as many scriptures, make it as complete a study as I possibly can. And I suppose I should stay away from that, although it makes for a complete study for people to prove that it is scripture. It isn't me just twinking around a verse or not. But this morning, the magnificence of religion, knowing, of course, that what Paul tells us to do is we need to destroy this magnificence. That's just what it talks about. So these are the things that makes people fall back to their religion or turn Paul into a religion. Or make anything into their religion, actually. Even sports is a religion to people. Music is a religion to people. It's their God. But, you know, I got to really hammer on the sports thing one of these days, because I'm just so, you know, NFL, AFL, girl FL, lingerie, football. I mean, it's just gotten so sick. You know, baseball and the $50 million these guys are making, it's just out of hand. It's just greed. And there's nothing like watching Mickey Mantle, and here goes my age, you know. Even the controversy with Roger Maris. The guy didn't hit 60 home runs in the same games that took Babe Ruth. So, yeah, he didn't win it. But still, 60 runs is 60 runs. 60 home runs, that's still pretty good. And some of my guys are still alive. Yogi Berra, still alive. Duke Snyder recently died, I think. And, if my mom hadn't thrown away my baseball card collection and my comic book collection, and my Jack in the Box collection, back when they were giving out real metal prizes. Oh, life is just not the way it should be, should it? Anyway, so this religion, Paul even called the Jews' thing a religion, the Jews' religion, because it is. It's a religion. It's how's that thing going, Timothy? It is a. Oh, let's check it out here. He says here in chapter 3, he says it as, it's a pretty good verse, it's a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. It's a religion. It looks good, but it doesn't do anything. And yet we've got to remember, Paul's teachings doesn't do anything for us either, other than our soul, which is quite spectacular. But he doesn't bless our day. He doesn't bless our good walk and chastise and curse are bad things. It all comes out in the end, but it's not that kind of a thing. The risen Savior took care of stuff at the moment of salvation when he did what he had to do. And as far as the data, he gives us a book. We learn the knowledge, we get the understanding, and someday we'll even apply it with some wisdom. And people go through such shock when they, and I know some people very close to me that don't like the Paul thing because of that very thing. They want God's blessings. They can't imagine going through life without God's blessings. But they somehow don't see the inconsistency of it. That whole concept is extremely inconsistent. He's not always there when you do something good then. And he's not always there when you do something bad. So there's something wrong here. And our kids see that. And they know that there's something fishy about this whole deal. Kids wise up to religion, they just don't know. They just throw God out, period, and don't want to even deal with it, which is still gives the devil his victory. So let's look at some. This morning we did it makes money. All has to do with making money, and it causes people to err from the faith, even though it's religious. And it's a way to pass on teaching to the kids. Unfortunately, it is a false teaching. And we did just kind of read through the paragraph really quickly. It's fun, and it makes the flesh feel fabulous. Which is what this is all about, basically money and flesh. And I would think we even talked about gives your family something to do. You know, instead of the dad doing it, the church will do it for you. The sermon studies and the lady studies and the kids studies and the teen groups and the pizza parties and, you know, swimming parties. It's just amazing. I was looking on YouTube today looking for some more illustrations for my music class for Romantic Era and the classical and the modern coming up here. And I ran across this church that was, they were putting on the Thriller, Michael Jackson's Thriller, in their big church auditorium thing, as they're going to talk about wickedness in their series. It's a series on wickedness. So what do? They bring the wickedness into their church. Is that just not amazing? I tell you. So let's just jump right to the next big thing. What everybody's doing out there, we know this to be true. We won't even spend a long time on any of these, I hope. Let's try to go through these quickly. We know this whole thing is geared to get people ready for Revelation 6. And that's another Jesus coming. That's a God. That's another gospel. That's another spirit that Paul is concerned that people are getting from all this stuff. This religion glorifies Satan. It doesn't glorify God at all. And speaking of glorifying Satan, I was reading the other day where I didn't even watch 90% of the Super Bowl, but the halftime was Madonna. And I guess it was an article about how demonic worship it was. It's a demonic, devilish worship would be King James. And it had all the signs and all the letterings and all the symbols and all the stuff of a satanic worship. And so we got that going on in our Super Bowl. Well, wait a minute, the Super Bowl is just one big massive church service anyway. So it seemed rather appropriate. But people loved it, I guess. So ooh, that ought to wake everybody up. Simple enough. Revelation chapter 6. We could go to Revelation 13 about the devil putting together his army. We can go to 2 Thessalonians about what the tribulation is going to be, is him doing, coming after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Don't forget that, lying wonders. But Revelation 6 is the one that people are being prepared for, because there is somebody coming down, and it will be pretty spectacular when you think about it. And there went out, let's see, Revelation 6 here, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So here's the problem. See, this kind of ties in another, I have to make a note of that thing here. So everybody's being prepared for this Antichrist coming down. He's on the white horse and the whole spiel. Probably one of the biggest differences in this, well, there's a bunch of differences. I got a track on the online, in fact, if you want to see it. But one of the biggest differences here that we can attune to today is it says here he went forth conquering and to conquer. So this whole concept about Christianity is to win people to the Lord. Jesus isn't, he has to fight when he comes back, but he's not coming down to conquer. He has nothing to conquer. We don't have to conquer the world for Jesus. That's the big talk we hear today. Go out there and win everybody to the Lord. It's a battle. Well, it is a battle. It's a challenge. But the risen Savior, the whole concept here is not to conquer. And when you hear these people talking about that, you know that they're being prepped for the Antichrist, Revelation 6, not for Revelation 19. There's all sorts of little things that are going on there that shows that. We went through the tribulation books, you know, Hebrews, 1st, 2nd Peter, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude, and we see a lot of those things starting to take place more and more. Doesn't mean we're in the trib, but we're sure getting closer. So before the real Christ comes in 19, the Antichrist has to come down first, and that's Revelation 6. So this religious stuff is just prepping people for their Christ, which is a small C, which is not the real one. And Satan gets the glory. Da, 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 da. So there's that one. And that's a big one to me. These are centers for the Antichrist preparation. That's what these churches are nowadays. We go on here. I guess here's another one. Let's go down here to Acts 17. We know what that is. That's the Mars Hill talk. And very simply put, this religion makes everybody, it's a great place for worship. And if you like music and you like singing or you like playing your instrument or your harp, or your clarinet, or your drums, or you take your pick. Whatever instrument you play, you can come and play it in these churches, in this religion, because it's all good, it says. No, this doesn't say that. And so what we have for Acts chapter 17, verse 25 and 26, tells us that this worship we have going on today is a false worship. We can't worship God that way. Well, sure, they did it in the Old Testament. We know that the temples, the glory of the Lord showed up in a cloud form in the Old Testament, and the Holy of Holies and the whole thing. We don't have that today. We just don't have that today. And so when people think we're doing that, what have they got? They've got this Jewish religion they're hooked on. And so they're going back to the Gospels to prove it. Well, the Gospels are Jewish teachings. Of course they're going to come out with that. And Paul warns against Jewish fables, and he calls the Jews' stuff a religion. So anyway, you go to these churches, you're getting caught up in a worship that means nothing to God. Just zip. We could go to 2 Timothy. Let's go to quick time in 2 Timothy. Yeah, we no, 1 Timothy, sorry, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, we know what this is all about. The religion is all about gain. It says here, godliness, they say here that gain is godliness. All these people that correct the book and they're proud, they know nothing, and they change his words, they don't teach his teachings, etc., etc. They suppose that gain is godliness. Well, that's what they think. Of course they think that. You want to get more people to come to your church. You want to get more income to come in for the church. You want to have more. It's always more something. And yet we know that Paul says in Thessalonians, before the Lord even comes back, there has to be a falling away. It says here, a day shall not come except there come a falling away first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I've always, you've heard me say this, of course you've heard me say everything before probably. Why do these pastors think that everything is going so well? We've got more and more, there's a boom in church attendance and blah, 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 blah. When that isn't the way Scripture says it's going to go. It's going to go the other way. Well, the only place we can take them to is Romans 11:22, and they're not interested in the goodness of God. They're interested in the judgment of God. They're interested in deceiving others as they've been deceived, but they would never say it that way. But that's what the Scripture... Oh, no wonder they don't like a King James Bible. It puts them on the platter, shows them what they're really about. That's religion. But it's a gain to people, and people want to have gain. They want to have a place to worship. And they want to prepare for the coming of Jesus. Wrong one. They want the church to teach their family because the dad's too lazy or too busy or whatever. And there's always money involved. And we have a rich church. You know, we have lots of... Look at our nice parking lot. People just keep writing checks. There's people who I got on my website here tonight, here, sermon here. You know, we got people... I remember people that would write a check. Their lives would stink, but they just keep writing those. You know, fine. I'm glad they wrote the checks. Who was this guy from Texas that was killed in a plane crash? I can't think of his name. I was going to think it was Tom Landry. No, it's not Tom Landry. Come on. Somebody type it in quick. Who's the big preacher guy from Texas that was killed in a plane crash? And always preached on sin, you know. Come on out there, somebody. Come on, who was this guy? He's still on the radio today. He's dead, but I mean, he's got his sermons on there. Oh. Anyway, this guy, I heard him say one time, well, you know, you're taking money from the devil. So it's about time that God uses the devil. It's about time God used the money instead of the devil. Well, that's fine. Send us all the, I don't care where it comes from, just send it in. But modern religion is about money. It's about making money. The trinkets, the whole thing. So Lester Roloff, there you go. And he preached good on sin. No, there's no doubt about it. He had a great message on sin and law. But he just totally missed grace and law. And yet he totally missed the whole teaching of grace. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Because he wasn't always King James. Probably got his foundational corruption. And if I remember right, he lived on one side of the house. His wife lived on the other because they weren't compatible with eating and health and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's just a weird place out there. These guys that think they're living to please God, it's just, come on. Anyway, let's get back to it here. So it's about gain. Here's another one. Well, then we'll talk about this another time too, but it has a lot to do with worship. But music is great. You know, there was one time in a magazine, a picture, remember this, Bob? And maybe, Jeanette, even back in those earlier days, there was a picture. We did a series of PowerPoint one time on all the modern new church buildings, and they showed a picture of an old-fashioned church with old-fashioned people in it. It just looked like they took a picture at Tushy. You know, I was proud of that thing. We didn't get into the modern stuff. But now, man, the music. Look at this. They're doing the Thriller inside church, and people love it. Why? Because the music has to do with the flesh. Music is great to play in the church, and if you're going to wait and just find somebody that has a specific talent or specific instrument, no, they just bring them up. They could care less. So we got any kind of instrument in there. It's great to play. It's fun to listen to. It's fun to participate in, because it all appeals to the flesh and the pride of being a great musician. And again, I've been through. The time where there were not musicians in church, where we got song leaders in church, and they started to get orchestras in church, and then they started to get the lost people out there to come in and fill in the spots, orchestra rehearsals on Sunday night instead of church, and been through the whole growth thing. And I remember preaching against all that stuff back in New York, and yet the church was growing because of the music, and I was in the way of it all, so get rid of them and da-da-da-da. It's an amazing thing. So, everybody loves the music that's going on in their religion. Let's see, don't they find a church or religion that's got the kind of music they like? Some rock and roller gets saved, well, he can probably get a job playing in a church. So did he really get saved, or did he just get a good job? Well, here's one. Here's another reason that people like religion. Religion demands nothing from you. You can just participate, and you can just sit there and do your thing. However, if you think about it, the guilt that's put on a person, because there are things they have to do or God will get them. There has to be prayer. There has to be confession. There has to be good church attendance. You have to love the pastor. You have to give 10% minimum. You have to participate in the rituals of the whole proceeds or the liturgy. You've got to keep the building going because that's where God's at. The temple is such. And everything that you do should be first class because it's for God. I've heard that from missionaries. They get all the money from these people because we're doing this missions program for God, and this should be first class. Should be proper frames and pictures and money and the clothes and you know, yeah. That's the way that is here. So even though it doesn't demand anything, it demands everything. And Paul, he doesn't demand anything. It's our reasonable service because of what Christ did for us and did to us. Is it a guilt trip? No, it isn't meant to be a guilt trip. It just shows us that we should be willing to be, it makes us ugly, gross, getting older body, still sacrifice, a living sacrifice. It's the least thing we could do when it comes to cutting us away from our flesh. We could actually listen to our soul, and we could listen to the scriptures once in a while and do the right thing. What's so hard about it? So we're not made to do anything. All things are lawful. Well, but, you know, it's not. If it doesn't edify, you ought not to. And if it doesn't cause somebody else to have a problem, cause somebody else to stumble, you know, or if it doesn't, if it's not an occasion for your flesh, or, I forgot the other couple too here, then yeah, you can do it, but, you know, you really ought not to. It's all things are lawful. So we're not forced to do anything. Nobody has to be at the sermon. You can listen to the sermon in another couple of days or whatever, like a lot of people do, you know. Or don't listen to it all. You get your Bible. Read your Bible. Study that thing. Don't have to even do that. But, you know, whatever. So the religious is the one that demands stuff. Here's another one here. This religion. Get back to the pastor. I probably could have put this in the pastoral side. Pumps up your pastor. Not your pastor. Pumps up the pastor. It pumps him up so much. And we said that was part of the magnificence of not having to demand anything. Yeah, but you better obey your pastor. And they go to, you know the verses, Hebrews 13:17. But what we have to remember here, these verses that they throw at you, I've heard these verses for years, says, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That's in Psalms, that's in Chronicles, that's in 1 Samuel. Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed? and be guiltless. And, you know, your pastor's been chosen and called by God and all this stuff. And who are you to correct this guy? Well, let me tell you, I got a Bible that corrects every pastor I can think of, including the Paul guys, including me. And I want to make sure that what I preach and teach better be scriptural, based on Paul and the risen Savior. Maybe we should put that in above Paul, obviously. But these guys are not 1 John chapter 3. The people in the congregation, we are not. The pastors are not 1 John 2:27. The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye not know not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. That's not the pastors. That's not me. That's my Bible. My Bible is anointed. There's nothing in this Bible that can be changed or corrected. We can't teach this Bible anything and then change it on our own. That's what's anointed. And yes, we have the Spirit of God in us. No problem with that. But they put these pastors on the pedestal, and that pastor stands up there thinking, listen, folks, you better believe me. And I understand the feeling. I understand the frustration. You're preaching a message. You believe it to be the truth. You believe it to be Timothy and Titus, and people ought to instantly go home and change their clothes. They ought to instantly send in the money. They ought to instantly change their manner of life. They ought to instantly do all these things. Why? Well, not because I said it, but because it's shown in the Bible. That's what it says. And it's rightly divided, so it really is to you. And we get that confidence. We get that assurance. So why don't people believe me? Why didn't they believe me when I told them what was going to happen when I left? And it did happen. Bob, answer me that one. Why do they not see the fact of what's going on? I even told them it was going to happen. So, no, the pastor, I understand the feeling, but the pastor is not my anointed one. And if he needs to be corrected with the Bible, of course. You can have opinion parties all you want. You can talk about them for dinner. I know the whole story about that thing. But compare what he says to the Scriptures. And don't look at his life, even though Hebrews 13:17 tells you to do so. That isn't written to us. Obey them that have the rule over you. He doesn't have the rule over him. I don't have the rule over you guys, ladies and people. They watch for your souls. Well, sure, your souls, but if you're saved, I'm not worried about you losing your soul, your salvation. Now let's get ready for that judgment seat. And it says here in 7, whose faith follow, consider the end of their conversation. My pastor's faith is my example? I hope not. Not the ones I've ever met and known. That's tribulation stuff. Yeah, they better be watching. Those guys better be putting forth the day to walk example. Okay, let's not get into that thing here. Here's another one. The religion today saves your sins. You mean saves you from your sins? No, it saves your sins. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. This modern religion, we can argue this, we're not going to tonight, does not lead a person to a true salvation. Gives them to another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And they're led by ministers of righteousness, which are, according to 2 Corinthians 11, are of the devil. So they're going to get true salvation out of these guys. These modern Bibles that are not how's that going in Ephesians, where it says, Ephesians 1:13, where he says, the gospel of your salvation, the word of truth, they all say different things. How can they be the gospel? How can they be the word of truth? They're not. So if they're not the word of truth, they're not the word of, they're not the gospel of your salvation. So when I say these religion saves your sins, Romans chapter 2, 5, it says, but after that hardness and impenitent heart, this is to a lost person, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness judgment of God. God is storing up their sins. God is storing up their works. We, as Christians, who've turned to the living Savior, the risen Savior, we are dead to sin. Our sins are we're separated from sin. God, Christ took care of sin. So modern religion actually saves your sins for later. For what later? Revelation chapter 20, judgment, the white throne judgment. So there's that thought. Let's do another thought here. What do we got? I got a bunch of them here. Oh, religion, modern religion today, any religion, old-fashioned or modern, doesn't interfere with your walk. No, you know, when we talked the other day about modesty today, where shamefacedness is modesty. Quiet ladies is modesty. Not silent, but quiet. That's a loud crowd. So we're looking here at, does it interfere with, I like to go to Philippians all the time. Philippians chapter 4, where he says in verse 9, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, who is me, was Paul, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And we see, and I think it's in 6, I think it's 2 Timothy 6, 1st or 2nd Timothy, let's see what we got here, where he talks about his manner of life. Now, there's no 6 in either one of them, so that was kind of a thought. Yeah, there isn't one, but that's not where it's at. Oh, is it? No, it's not. But Paul talks about his manner of life. And modern religion doesn't tell you, you can wear anything you want, you can go where you want, you can talk the way you want, you can read what you want, and you can even say it blesses God because he doesn't stop you from doing it. Of course, God would stop you from doing something wrong, wouldn't he? No, but he'll tell you it's wrong in your Bible. And then you got to make the choice. You got to make the decision. He's not going to stop you from jumping off a cliff. Now we got Whitney Houston who died. And now we're hearing all this stuff about how, you know, she's absent from the body, present with the Lord. I don't know whether she's saved or not, but the testimony of her music certainly isn't. That isn't the kind of stuff that pleases God. You can look at 2 Timothy 3:10, there, the manner of life. You can tell by her music that that isn't what God would hear. He's studying music and blah, 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 blah. So I'm not to say she's not, but everybody does what they want. Then when they die, they say, well, I guess I'll just go out and be with God and I'll find out I was wrong. You know, it doesn't work that way. So religion doesn't interfere with your walk. You know, go swimming. You know, that's the next closest thing to nakedness as you can get in public. And jump in with a girl's sport. I mean, the list goes down. Things on my mind just go down the list, you know, what's going on in this world. The music you listen to. Even the food we eat and how much of it. The gluttony concept, you know, that whole thing. So, but see, we get religion. We don't have to worry about that stuff because there is no... In fact, again, we'll say it again. Paul, risen Savior, so opposite. All things are lawful. So it doesn't interfere with your walk. Yeah, well, it does if you look at the strings attached. See, there are things we ought not do. There are some places we're supposed to turn away from. There are people we're supposed to withdraw from. Religion doesn't put that demand on you. We're supposed to love everybody and just accept everybody. Well, God, anyway, we'll save the spiel. Let's look at another one. We're going to look at some more. I've got a whole list on my little paper here. Okay. Oh, I was going to look back at that conquering thing. I was going to say Romans 8:37 says that we're more than conquerors. And so the Antichrist is coming to conquer the world. So everybody thinks that Jesus, today, we're supposed to conquer the world. That's not right at all. Let's go to 1 John. Here's something else people get out of religion. And this is a big one. This is a big one for people. We're going to 1 John. Oh, wait, why are you going to 1 John? Yeah, I know. It's a tribulation book. That's not written to us. And you can't pick and choose out of this thing. This whole thing is written to the tribulation saints, as we say. And it talks about here in first chapter, first couple of verses, is talking about fellowship. And the people always say, well, see, if you don't confess your sins in verse 9, then you lose your fellowship with God. So, to get that fear under people, so you go to these modern religions, you have great fellowship with the people. And they threaten that if you don't do the right thing, you're not having fellowship with God. But because their religion doesn't teach right and wrong, then they've always got fellowship with God. And God, of course, is in the service because of the music. Look at all the people that are coming as we do the thriller tonight to show what sin is all about. It's just amazing what's going on here. So they go to church for fellowship. Well, Paul tells us a lot of things that we're supposed to be there for each other, no doubt. But he also tells us that we're not walking in the walk of Paul, then we're supposed to stay away from those people in due time. Got to pray and you have your tears and, you know, the whole thing. We have patience and we have long suffering. But it comes to a point we need to reprove, and then you got to rebuke, and then it finally comes to a point where you need to get away. See, religion doesn't teach that. You go to church for fellowship. And I hear it so much. People go to this church because they know their pastor's lying. They know that he's not all Paul. They know that he's doing some weird things in the community. We know that he's got family problems. We know this kid, that other kids are going sour. We know all this stuff, but you know what? I still got to go to church because I still need that fellowship. It's tough to be alone. And I'm becoming more and more alone as I preach this stuff. But I know some people out there that are really alone. And the life isn't even going well. Is it because God's chastising? No, not at all. It's just this is life. We're living in a cursed world still. I just can't get myself. Maybe someday I'll be in that predicament. I'll have to go someplace for church. I'll go someplace for a dinner just to be with these people. And before you know it, if you're not in your book, you're gonna flake away. And you're going to be going to this church. You know the music's wrong. You know the pastor's lying to you. You know the kids are being taught the wrong stuff. You know the guy's not pleased with the whole thing. Is it going to cause somebody to stumble? You bet when they see you going to that church. Is it there to edify? No, it's not going to get any edifying at all. Is it an occasion for the flesh? Probably. What's the flesh? Fellowship. They got a power over you? Can you not go? Are you so lonesome you cannot go? It's a power over us. Lonesomeness is a tough deal. Just can't get myself to... I have a hard enough time going to town here for the pancake stuff, you know. And I sit down, the kids come over and see me and hug me and blah, blah, blah. So that's why I go, is to see the kids. And they see that, well, he does come to these things. But this isn't even the town I teach in. So we're having a pancake feed next week in one of the towns I teach. I'll go there. But it's not a church service. And, would you go to a church service? No, because those kids or people would think, I believe that stuff. I don't believe that stuff. I cannot be seen in an area where people think I believe that stuff. Even for fellowship. That's why I got the dog. There's no better fellowship than your dog. You know, just a loving, snuggling dog. You know, talk about unconditional love right there, that kind of a thing. But anyway. That's such a bad testimony to say your dog is your best. What else we got on my little notepads here? Let's see here. It doesn't interfere with your walk. It benefits you. Religion benefits you. It benefits other people, but it certainly doesn't benefit God because it's not the truth. It's very easy to pretend with your religion. You can go to church and look good there. You know, Bob, you know what I'm talking about here. A guy that told me that always talking about people's church face, turns out that he had the best church face of them all. So yeah, you can put on your church face and go to church and look holy and all the wear dress modestly. The ladies can serve on their all this kind of stuff. It's so easy to pretend in a place like that. But with Paul's preaching, you can't pretend. Whenever you think you're finally maybe becoming a halfway decent of a Christian, you read something that Paul, the risen Savior, reminds us that, see, you're still not clean enough. And these people that think that their life is good enough, that they weren't God's, they earned God's blessings. And it just amazes me. You cannot earn God's blessings through the tribulation when the Spirit of God is upon your flesh. We have His blessings because of grace. And His blessings are spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1. They're not physical blessings. America is physically blessed because we supported Israel. Oh, cut it out. First of all, we haven't supported Israel correctly, if you believe that. And B, that's not what he's talking about. That's an Old Testament thing. What we get out of Jewish nations was supposed to be the imputation thing that Paul talks about. We get that from Abraham. There's our blessings. So as we turn against Israel, we should have been taken care of out of here. We should have been knocked down as a country a long time ago. Oh, wait a minute. We are knocked down as a country. Our economy is dying. It's become world government economy. Blah, 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 blah. See? This has not been a blessed nation. You go back even to the beginning, and you start looking with Thomas Jefferson, the great man that he was, cut up the Bible. He was a Bible corrector right from the start. God could have taken care of this country way back then. What's keeping us going? Maybe godly principles. Maybe because we're keeping His word. We're not keeping His word anymore. America's not a King James Bible country at all. Not a zero. And these earthquakes and these hurricanes that are coming, that's God's judgment. Obviously, people that say that have not read what God's judgment is going to be. I mean, Hurricane Katrina, it was man's dikes that went down, and probably man's man that destroyed the dikes, the government. Oklahoma. Well, that was the government. Twin Towers. Well, that was the government. It's obvious. When a plane flies into a building, there's supposed to be damage from a plane, and there is none. Come on. Convince yourself that the government isn't killing America because it wants to be part of the world government. Then you're a pretty good liar to yourself. Oh, let's see here. Number six, I don't know what numbers we're on, but number 16, here's one. You can design your own God. Well, yeah, you can design your own religion based on what Bible you want. Depends upon what kind of a God you want. Get to a King James Bible, right, divide it. It'll tell you who God is. It'll tell you who your Savior is, and it'll tell you what His teachings are. He'll tell you what His teachings were in the Old Testament. He'll tell you what the teachings were during the Gospels. That Bible will tell you what His teachings were during the Great Commission. And that Bible will tell you what His teachings will be just before He comes back. And the Bible tells you what His teachings are when He does come back. Your Bible will teach, King James Bible will teach you what His teachings are after He comes back. And believe it or not, that Bible will teach you what His teachings are today, between the Great Commission and the Rapture. So, you know, get the real God. Don't try to design your own. Oh, I don't know. We could probably stop. I got one more here that says spectacular buildings. You know, remember that's one of the things in Acts 19 that these people despise, the temple of Diana. I look at these church buildings and you know, new or old, our who we got on here, still make sure here. We got our church back in Tucci. It was an old building with a bell that rang. And we loved ringing it, you know, waiting for that thing to come crashing to the ceiling any time. It was old. It was so old, our electric bill was horrible because when we took some walls out to put windows in, there was no insulation other than newspapers. And yet I like those old buildings. But I'm past the church building glory because that's Catholic. It looks cute, and it's got some ancient, some American history to it, you know, and it's kind of exciting, but... we kept it. It was one of the nicest old buildings I'd ever seen. The people kept it in tip-top shape, no doubt. Until I make the repairs, right, Bob? And you men did everything you can to keep me from fixing anything because you wanted it to be fixed, right? But the buildings today, oh man! I mean, we got fountains, we got spiral staircases, we've got parking lots that are double layered. We've got big folding hands out in front of your pond. You've got, I don't know. I haven't even seen them recently. They're just massive. They're no different than the Catholic, Catholic cathedrals. Same thing. Like I say, the Holy Roman Baptist Church. These religions are nothing but Mary or Diana, and they're all offshoots from the Catholic Church, and they're all back on the same boat again to the Catholic Church. The ecumenical thing was accepted and signed by every denomination out there, and I think I read about it in the 80s or something. I've got a copy of the signatures in my pile of stuff here. Even the Baptists have jumped on, and they say they never were part of it. Yes, you were. Yeah, the Baptists were. Not the Bible-believing guys, the Pauline guys, the Paulicians. But everybody else with some form or another kicked off the bat, pulled them away from the Catholic thing, and they're all back on it again. You know, and come on, we don't believe in the priesthood? Sure we do. We got people that say that if you were baptized by this pastor, all the way back to John the Baptist, then you're part of the body of Christ. That's a Catholic teaching. You got to confess your sins to stay in fellowship with God? That's a Catholic teaching. They just have to confess them for their salvation. Go down the list. You know, when it's communion time, the Lord's Supper time, suddenly these wild hooting Baptists become very solemn and very, very ritualistic. You know, they pass the plate. And, where'd we come up with the wine glass concept? I mean, the whole thing is just religion. It's so much religion out there. It feels good. It's a game people play. They think it pleases God and has nothing to do with God. And they think it's getting ready for the coming of Christ. It's getting ready for the coming of the Antichrist. The only way to recognize that is to go with Paul only. You can't mix Paul's teachings with the gospel teachings. You can't miss Paul's teachings with the Hebrews to Jude teachings, because then it blurs the whole thing. It'll be Paul only. You go Paul only, your Bible will suddenly make fantastic sense to you, and you'll realize that you had a religion. And if you're not careful, you'll get involved with the mid-acts and the grace, hyper-grace guys, and you're going to have a Paul religion. And it still isn't going to do it for you. It's still a false religion. So, now, I didn't park on any of these long time like I usually do. We took care of, I think, 16, 17 points today in one day. Now, that's new for me. But I don't think anything was said on here that was anything new to folks, at least you folks that are here all the time. It's just a mess. And we're to destroy these things. We're to destroy the magnificence of this stuff. And there's your list of things to destroy. And unfortunately, when you do it, just like it says in Acts 19 there, the results will be wrath from the people, and yet they'll be confused. Confusion will reign in the city. That's where it's at. And Romans 11:22, as soon as people are done in the goodness of God, which is only preached through Paul, the risen Savior, then God's going to come back, what we call the rapture, call it what you want. Right now we're in a falling away, and religion is stepping up to the plate, and everybody loves it. And for what it's worth, to me the biggest power behind this modern religion is the music. It's the music. Come worship with us. And we know that that isn't how God is worshipped today. So we'll end it with that right there.